the joy of being in the house of the Lord tonight to witness the joy of baptism. Amen. Have you ever wondered what the birthmarks of a believer are? How can you tell if someone has been born again? Well, that's what we're going to discuss tonight in this message entitled The Birthmarks of a Believer. Now, many of you have heard the story of Nicodemus and Jesus in John chapter 3, I pray. But if you haven't, you're going to hear it tonight. And what you may not know is that Nicodemus, the reason Nicodemus came to Jesus in the first place, and that was he wanted to know about miracles. And Jesus, in essence, told him, Nicodemus, in order to know about miracles, in order for you to understand miracles, you yourself are going to have to become a miracle. Be finding in God's holy word the third chapter of John, and please rise to your feet if you are able, as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word tonight, John chapter 3. The word of God says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for the privilege it is to be in the house of the living Lord tonight. And Lord, we have but one thing in our prayer, and that is that each and every one of us would open up our heart to your word and to your truth, and grant us that ear that we might hear. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. Now, the miracle that Nicodemus needed to experience was the miracle of being born again. And as you might imagine, he asked Jesus about this in his answer to Nicodemus. Jesus pointed out some things about the new birth that we need to understand tonight. For example, in a birth, a conception takes place. In verse 5 here, Jesus said that we are born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Water speaks of the Word of God, and the Spirit means the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God and the Word of God come together in the womb of faith, there is a wonderful conception. It'll not happen without our consent. We must provide that womb of faith. Jesus also points out here that in a birth, a continuation is involved. Look again there at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Physical life is imparted to physical life, and spiritual life is imparted by spiritual life. Parents do not manufacture babies in the true sense. They just pass on the life that has been given to them. Life is transmitted, if you will. Likewise, in the new birth, the life of God is transmitted into us. The term born again literally means born from above. tonight as we witness these baptisms. We ask the question, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And the answer was an emphatic yes. The Spirit of God has been born in our heart. You see, salvation is not only getting man out of earth into heaven, it is getting God out of heaven into man here on earth. Jesus also said in a birth, a character is produced. In the flesh, we receive the nature of our fleshly parents. When the Spirit of God and the Word of God create in us something special, supernatural, if you will, we receive the character of a new being with a divine nature. You see, Christians aren't just nice people. They are new creatures. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what, church? Creation. The old has passed away, and all things have become what? New. And so understand, we're not like a tadpole that became a frog. We're more like a frog who's become a prince by the kiss of grace. Jesus also pointed out, in a birth, a completion transpires. A birth is a once-for-all experience in the natural realm and also in the spiritual realm. You know, when a baby is born in earthly society, a record is written down. It receives a birth certificate. In heaven, we're told that when someone comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they receive a new name written down in heaven. It speaks of a completed fact. Your birth certificate says that you were born. Your new name that's been written down in heaven lets you know that the Spirit of God lives in you. And when you leave this earth, you're going home to heaven. Now, it's important that we understand this because no one can ever be unborn. Even when one's body ceases to exist, the spirit of an individual goes on timeless, dateless, and measureless throughout all eternity. Jesus said, in a birth, a commencement occurs. A birth is a starting place. A little child is all tomorrows. He has no past. No policeman is going to be there to arrest a newborn baby for crimes he has done. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are not yesterdays. We are all tomorrows. Remember what Paul told us, forget that which is behind. And press on toward the mark of your high calling in Christ. I can tell you tonight that what's behind you is behind you. You can't go undo anything that's already been done. You can't even relive this morning. You can't even relive the baptism you just witnessed tonight. That time has come and it is gone. Friends, we need to press on. It's all tomorrow. Jesus also points out that in a birth, a certainty is expected. A birth is a definite experience, isn't it? If the question were asked of you, have you ever been born? It would almost seem nonsensical to ask it, but let's say I did ask it and you answer, well, I'm doing the best I can. Or even more ridiculous, you would say, I've always been born. No, there is indeed a certainty implied by a birth. There was a time when you did not exist. What's your birth date? Get that in your mind. Before that date, you were not. You didn't exist. So a birth implies a definite time, if you will, a definite experience. There was a time when you were born. Now, we had no choice about our first birth. Nobody came to me and said, Don, would you like to be born? Nobody asked my opinion on the matter. Nobody gave me a choice about it. I was conceived in my mother's womb, and I was brought forth from my mother's womb. What happened to me happened to you. Can I ask you tonight, did anybody ask you if you wanted to be born? Did anybody ask you, do you want to be brought into this world? We had no choice about our first birth. But we do have one about our second birth. You see, when the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, speaks to your heart, and you become convicted, you have a choice. You have a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you can reject Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We get a choice about the second birth. And in order to be born again, as I said earlier, we have to provide the womb of faith. 1 John 5:1 teaches that whosoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God. The new birth takes place when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this passage is so great because here the Scripture clearly delineates what saves us, and then in contradistinction, so that we can make no mistake at all about it, it speaks of what does not save us. Therefore, if we were to look at it first negatively and see what doesn't save, and then look positively and see what does, these verses tell us that self and works do not save. Not of yourself. Not of works. And that seems simple enough, doesn't it? But most people do not understand this simple concept. If you ask the average man on the street today, are you going to heaven? Most are going to say yes. And then if you ask, why do you believe that? The reply that is most often heard is because I'm doing the best I can. Now think about that answer for a minute. I, self, am doing works the best I can. And what I'm pointing out to you is that many think that God is like Santa Claus. They believe He's making a list, checking it twice, finding out who's been naughty and nice. And you see, they think one day they're going to stand before God in the judgment, and He's going to weigh the good they've done versus the bad they've done, and whatever side, that wherever the balance comes down, that's where they're going. Are you aware that most people believe they can behave themselves into heaven? But once again, the Scripture clearly says, not of yourselves, not of works. Well, we know the devil doesn't give up easily, does he? And he encourages you to believe something like this. Yes, I cannot work my way to heaven, but works will help. To them, it is the grace of God. And I heard this in Sunday school this morning. That's how good my teacher is. To them, it is the grace of God plus something else that I got to do. And I find that interesting because I was going to preach on this, and I didn't talk to my Sunday school teacher. I had no idea what he was going to talk about this morning. But he made this statement: people cannot believe in the simple gospel. They always think they got to add something to it. To them, it's grace. It's the grace of God plus what I do. I do my part, God does His. But friends, nothing could be further from the truth. And I heard that in Sunday school this morning. That's why you need to come to Sunday school. We got great teachers in this church. You need to be a part of a Sunday school class. You'll learn stuff like that. Do you know what grace means? God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you want to know why Janet and Ronnie Fields are going home to heaven? It's not because they were baptized. It's because they simply received God's riches at Christ's expense into their heart. They became convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, like many of you have. And they understood that they were a sinner in need of a Savior, that if they were to die in the situation they were in, their elevator was going down. And they reached out by faith. And they took a hold of God's grace. That's what I did. That's what my wife did. And I pray that's what many of you have done. But if you've not done that yet, why wouldn't you take a hold of the grace of God? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. When you think of grace, look up there at that cross. I want you to think of Jesus dying in agony, his blood upon the cross for an undeserving sinner like you and me. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is nothing in us to commend us to God. I'm not going home to heaven because I preach. When Jesus asked me when I get there one day, why should I let you into my heaven? My answer is going to be nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If I had to depend on my preaching or my golf game, I'd never make it. And my Sunday school teacher wouldn't make it either if he had to depend on his teaching. Now, he's a good teacher. But I can tell you, if you had to depend on yourself, would you trust the best 15 minutes of your life to get you into heaven? We're sinners by birth, by choice, and by practice. You ever heard this statement, some people are born liars? Have you ever met a born liar? This one woman I knew had a reputation. People say, you can't believe half of what she says, and the other half you better question. And when she spoke up, everybody knew she was fibbing. Some people are just born liars. Some people get hooked on drugs. Some people become alcoholics. Some people, they got secret sins. But the point is this, we're sinners by birth. In sin did my mother conceive me. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by practice. But that cross lets us know that God loves us in spite of our sin. And God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Hell was never created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's why the cross is like this, because the arms of God are open wide. And anybody, no matter how bad they are or how good they think they are, anybody can come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and you're a whosoever tonight, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We sang that song, Amazing Grace. Did you listen to what you were singing, or were you just singing? Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. When you begin to understand it, you begin to understand what faith really is. If the question were asked, what is faith? It's simply this: forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. I'm not dependent on my good intentions, not dependent on my good deeds, not depending on my own sense of self-worth. I forsake my sin, I turn my back on it, and I trust in Him. Forsaking all. Grace is a gift. If you have to pay anything for it, it ceases to be a gift. And so we must remember that we cannot take any praise or any credit for our salvation, none whatsoever. Salvation is all of God and none of us. Grace is a gift, and therefore we cannot boast about grace. All we can do is sing about God's amazing grace. Listen, if you think you're a peacock, there's not going to be any peacock strutting around in heaven. When we get to heaven, God gets all the praise. God gets all of the glory because of His marvelous, matchless, amazing grace. See, we're talking about a new birth. And the new birth comes when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. All we do is provide the womb of faith. When the Spirit of God and the Word of God come together in the womb of faith, a wonderful conception takes place. But you need to understand, it will not happen without our consent. We must provide that womb of faith. And the life of God is then transmitted into us. And the life of God is transmitted into us in the new birth. And when it is, there's going to be three birthmarks of the believer. In other words, if we're born again, the evidence is going to be there. The evidence that you are a new creation. The evidence that says we are God's children, created in Christ Jesus, because we are now like Him. We have His life in us. And the first birthmark is seen in the commandment test. John writes these words in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He has walked. Now John doesn't beat around the bush here. He says in effect, look, don't tell me you're saved if you're not keeping the commandments. If you say you are, you're a liar. Now let me be clear. You're not saved by keeping the commandments. But you will keep the commandments if you are saved, because that's one of the birthmarks of the believers. Now, we've already learned that salvation is not of works. You're not saved by commandment keeping. And none of us would dare say we have been perfect since the time we have been saved. Every one of us who's been saved by grace, we've all fell down, we've all failed, amen? Now, that's a good point for an amen. You know I said it right, so let's hear it. Amen? Good. I just wanted to make certain I wasn't preaching to a bunch of liars tonight. Also wanted to make certain you were still alive. So what we need to understand is what that word keep means. Keep the commandments. Comes from the Greek word tereo, which means to watch over. It was used in ancient times by sailors. They didn't have GPS, global positioning satellites, radio signals to guide them, yet they sailed upon the trackless seas. And in doing so, they sailed by the stars. They kept their eye on the heavens, and it was said that they were keeping the stars, Keeping the stars is much like keeping the commandments. Any sailor would occasionally get blown off course and get distracted and waver this way and that. Yet he's keeping the stars. And so to keep the commandments means that we steer by them. It does not speak of sinless perfection because none of us is sinlessly perfect. Only one, Jesus Christ. It means it's our heart's desire to keep the Word of God. It means that instead of running to sin when you slip and fall, you get up and you run to God. You don't keep running in sin. You turn around and you run back to God. A second birthmark is what I call the companion mark. Again, John writes, 1 John 3:14 and 15, these words of truth, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now remember, when we are born again, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born of God. We have a new nature. It's God's nature. We are in the family of God now, and in the family of God, we have brothers and sisters. Amen? If I'm born of God and I have become a partaker of God's divine nature, love will automatically be in my heart, for I'll have God's love inside of me. Again, to be God's child, it is to share God's nature. Love is the nature of God, and therefore it is characteristic of His children. If we love Him and His love is in us, then we're going to love what God loves, which is His dear family. God loves His church. Isn't it great to be a part of the family of God? This is the reason it is so foolish for people to say yes to Jesus and no to His church. One of the marks, the traits of the twice born, is that we love one another and the members of His church. But with that said, not all of us are lovely by nature. I mean, there's some people in the family of God, they's hard to love. Isn't that true? We're sinners. Saved by grace. So not all of us are lovely by nature. But do you know what a church is? A church is comprised of people who have finally realized that they're sinners and they've banded themselves together to do something about it. All of us are in various stages in our spiritual growth. I got saved when I was 13 years old. Now I'm on up there a little bit. I've been walking with the Lord for 53 years. But Ronnie and Janet, they're just newborns. They're not even a day old yet. They just got wet, didn't they? They just came out. How old are you in Christ? Debbie Ham's about ready to celebrate her first anniversary. We're all at various stages in our walk with God. We're all growing up in Christ, and none of us has reached full maturity yet, have we? And so to love Jesus is to love His church. To neglect the church is to neglect Jesus. To love the church is to love Jesus. This kind of love is a birthmark of a believer. And then the final birthmark is this. It's the confidence mark. And again, it is John whom the Lord Jesus called upon to write these words of truth. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the greatest and strongest of all the birthmarks. Biblical confidence is just not an intellectual exercise. You do not believe about Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Y'all believe an airplane can fly, but you don't trust it until you get on it. It's not an intellectual fact. that saves us. It does not say that he who has believed. It says he who believes. Our confidence is always to be in the present tense. The Bible never uses looking back as proof of our salvation. It never points us back to some time when we may have believed on Jesus Christ. The Bible always deals with our present confidence. The Bible never says that you will know you are saved by something you remember in the past. It says, he that believes, present tense. It's that simple. If you are believing, then you did believe. Now let me offer this illustration and you pay close attention. Suppose we're both right here tonight in Lebanon, Virginia, and we're going to McGee Tyson Airport in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, you're going to fly to the airport in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I'm going to drive to the airport, and I'm going to pick you up there at that airport. Now, because I'm driving, I'm going to know when I cross that state line, because there's going to be that big old sign that says, "Welcome to Tennessee." Now, you flew down there. And you crossed that same state line, but you didn't know that you crossed that state line because there's no sign up in the sky that told you, "Welcome to Tennessee." You'll land at McGee Tyson Airport, and we'll meet at McGee Tyson Airport, and I'll pick you up there. Now, I came by automobile, you went by airplane. But because I came by automobile, I give my testimony and I say, I remember exactly when I crossed that state line. Your testimony is going to be, I don't remember when I crossed that state line, but I obviously did cross that state line because I'm standing right here in the airport waiting for you to pick me up. Now, the important thing to remember here is that if you are trusting in Jesus, you did trust in Jesus. Your confidence comes not because you're remembering something you did in the past. Your confidence becomes because when you gave your heart to Jesus, you keep following Jesus. It's present tense. It's not that you did believe, it is that I am believing. Amen? And so you know you are in Jesus Christ because your confidence is not in you, but in Jesus Christ. You've been born again because you're bearing the birthmark of a believer. And I pray tonight that every one of you can say, I bear the birthmark of a believer. I have believed. I am believing. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And if you can't say that tonight, why? What would stop you from receiving God's amazing grace? After all you've got to do is receive it. And if you don't receive God's grace, and you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd be for all eternity? You'd be in a place you don't want to be, wouldn't you? How many here tonight, by an uplifted hand, would say, I want to go to hell? There ain't anybody in here. I didn't see one hand go up. We all want to go home to heaven, amen? Well, in order to go home to heaven, you got to believe what Jesus did on the cross. And you got to be willing to repent of your sin. And you got to be willing to put your faith and trust in him. And when you do that, you're going to get a new name that's written down in heaven. When you do that, all your sins are going to be washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. When you do that, you become a new creature in him. All things become new. When you do that, all your past is wiped away. Now, how many of you would love to have all your past wiped away? and have all your days be just filled with tomorrows. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid it all. And faith is simply forsaking all. I trust Him. It's just that simple. It's all of God. And only one thing we've got to provide, the womb of faith. Have you allowed the Spirit of God to speak to your heart tonight? Have you allowed the Word of God to be the water? Are you willing to provide the womb of faith and allow God to come into your heart? We're going to sing an invitational hymn tonight. And as we stand to sing this hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you can do that tonight simply by stepping up and letting me know that you want to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be a Christian, but you've been struggling in your walk with God. Maybe you've gotten off track like them sailors. You kind of veered off course a little bit. Maybe you need to come tonight and just get that right with God. I don't know, but you do. I'm confident that God is speaking to your heart tonight. You see, God's made me a promise. He made all our Sunday school teachers a promise too. He says, His word never goes out void. Whenever a teacher or a preacher shares this word, God sends it out because He intends for it to work in your heart and mine. So Brother Marty, if you come and lead us in our hymn tonight, "Have Thine Own Way," as we stand to sing, if God has spoken to your heart tonight, would you come? Will you come and give your heart to Jesus tonight if you haven't? Would you come and pray for those who are on your prayer list? People you know who do not have salvation, that they might come to receive salvation. Would you come and cleanse your own heart if you need to tonight?